When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so those of you who listen to the show know that every Friday, or in the case of a Thursday game, we'll do it on Thursday. But before every Texans game, starting in week three, we started doing this. Seth and I do a little thing called the Circle of Swarm. It's sort of the offshoot of the Circle of Trust that we do for the Astros, but with a little different set of rules. If you want to tune into it, if you haven't heard it before, we typically do it around 7:20-ish. On Fridays, we'll do one this Friday. Seth and I are both in this Friday to get you ready for Jacksonville and the Texans on Sunday. Noon kick in Jacksonville. You can hear it on Sports Radio 610.
Help you lower your blood sugar a little bit too.
Yes. Yeah. So we do the Circle of Swarm and we pick six guys. Seth picks three, I pick three, and they are the swarmiest of players for that week. Some of it's based on recency, previous performance, with a little bit of a sliver of how we hope that particular player plays the upcoming weekend. So the swarmiest of players get picked as one of the six. So we've done this now 10 times. We've done it for weeks 3 through 12. We'll do another one this Friday for week 13. Seth, I don't know if you've looked at the scoreboard here.
I have.
Okay, you have. All right, so yep. I was going to have you guess, if you hadn't looked at it, as to who the swarmiest player has been so far, who's been selected for the Circle of Swarm the most so far this year.
Can I guess again, since maybe there's a chance I misremembered it?
Sure.
Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter's number one with seven selections. Give it to me. There we go.
I remembered something that I read 45 minutes ago.
Seven times Danielle Hunter has been selected to the Circle of Swarm. He's number one on the list. Number two on the list, Azeez Alshire has been selected six times. Now, Azeez has been good this year, and we'll point out, Azeez, unlike Danielle Hunter, has actually missed a few weeks. So he's probably, Azeez has probably made it almost every week he's been on the field.
Yeah, and I think that really speaks to the nature of the award. It's not necessarily, hey, this is an all-pro or anything like that. It's how swarmy are you? And Azeez Alshire has an ability to hit people both in and out of bounds with a whole lot of thud.
Yes.
There was a particularly bad late hit call on him last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have that. This team's not in a position where they can be just, donating penalties to the total.
No.
But, he brings a thud to him.
So he's made it six times. Two players have made it five times in the Circle of Swarm so far this year. Derek Stingley Jr.
Mm-hmm.
and Joe Mixon. And keep in mind, Joe Mixon missed a few weeks as well. We started this exercise up in week three. He did not come back to the he was not back on the field till week six.
So the swarmiest, remember, not MVP or anything, but the swarmiest so far have been Danielle Hunter, Azeez Alshire, Derek Stingley, and Joe Mixon.
Correct. Yeah.
I think that, probably there are people listening to that at home might be thinking, hey, what? Where's Will Anderson? Where's Jalen Petrie? Those guys are the guys that jump to the forefront of your mind.
Yeah.
Okay, those are swarmy type of players.
Yep. They're next.
So are people surprised that they're not in the top five?
I don't know. I haven't seen, because I didn't post this on Twitter or anything. I haven't seen any texts yet. I'm sure people will weigh in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Next at four, tied, are Jalen Petrie, Will Anderson Jr., and Nico Collins, who himself missed a bunch of time as well.
If Nico hadn't missed five games, I think he'd clearly be up there.
He would be.
That's just simply him not being available to be in the Circle of Swarm.
Missed five games, yeah.
I think we considered putting him in there one week after a bad performance, just even as he was on IR. Because we were like, man, we need that swarm out there.
We put him in one week. I can't remember if it was you or me. I think it was you, and I totally agreed with it. We put him in the week he was coming off of injured reserve, just because we needed him to swarm so badly.
Oh, you did? Okay.
We did. Yeah.
That's Bush League.
He's the only player. It's our rules, man. We can do whatever we want. And then now you start to get into guys who've only made it a few times. Three times in the circle of swarm. Kamari Lassiter, C.J. Stroud, Stephon Diggs.
Diggs?
Three times.
I forgot about him. He was on this team, wasn't he?
He was.
Does that not seem like a distant and faint memory at this point?
It feels like a fever dream, honestly. Like it really does. Yeah.
We haven't seen him around the team at all, which is fine because he's got ACL surgery and all that. You can stay off your feet. But yeah, it is weird. Everything from all the offseason storylines and the ones that have evaporated, the Stephon Diggs intrigue right this moment feels like the one that I have to remind myself of.
Hey,
what's
the norm for that? For a guy like Diggs who tears his ACL. I've not seen the reports as to whether or not he's gotten the surgery yet. I mean, he's going to get surgery at some point if he hasn't yet. What is the norm for someone like him being around the team?
Usually, it depends. It just depends. And usually, usually you don't have the surgery right away. They want all the swelling to die down and everything, so you want to keep your feet off. You do prehab where you're strengthening before you go into surgery.
Okay.
Then you have the surgery, and then you're off your feet for a couple weeks after that. So I don't know. You might start to see him probably right about now start to be around more. But he's also a veteran player who's not from Houston, who's not under contract. You might not see him again. It might have been, he's off to different places. And wherever his off-season workout facility, he might want to do his rehab there. So he might be like Justin Verlander and go elsewhere to do his rehab.
Man, that's sad. That is a sad ending to what was something that had everybody super hyped during the preseason, especially the way he played and conducted himself in the preseason. Like, we all had such high hopes for the Stephon Diggs experiment, and he was good while he was on the field. He wasn't great, but he was good.
It would be nice to see him around, but I don't think that's not the thing that's going to fix the Texans. It would help and everything, but I'm not on Stephon Diggs' watch.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious what the norm is there. Two times in the circle of swarm: Kyahmi Fairbairn, Neville Hewitt, Tim Settle.
Now we're
getting into some names. Now Tim Settle and John Metchie have made it twice. And now the one-timers in the circle of swarm: Kalen Bullock, Darian Gumawale. God, I feel like you can almost name after which games they got it. You know, like Dare had the game where he scored the touchdown against Jacksonville. He was probably in the following. Foley Fatakasi, Henry Toa, Damian Pierce. That had to be after the Patriots game with the long touchdown. Eric Murray made it one time. Danico Autry made it one time. Tank Dell. One time in the circle of swarm so far this year.
Yeah, of all those players that only have made it one time.
Tank's the story, man.
Right, and I feel like Bullock probably could have made it another couple times.
Yeah.
It's just it was in games where there were a lot of swarmy performances. So Bullock feels a little slight.
Yep.
Tank Dell's the one that's the biggest disappointment.
I think.
That really... And, that drop on the third and long deep shot last week was particularly disheartening. We saw him drop a touchdown earlier in the season against the Patriots. That's the guy that you really... And then even when Stephon Diggs went out, you're thinking, all right, here's a chance for Tank Dell to really shine.
Yeah.
It just hasn't worked out so far.
Those are the plays that the Texans as a team were making last year, and particularly CJ and Tank and that connection they had. And what Seth's referring to, there was a third and 19... Texans were going right to left from the press box. So they were headed south to north. So I forget what quarter it was, but it was a third and 19, and CJ got stepped up in the pocket and threw an absolute rope to Tank.
As he was getting hit from his left.
Yeah, CJ was getting hit from his left. Now, Tank wasn't uncontested. Like, he there was a DB there that got his hand in there, but I felt like it was one of those plays where last year, Tank finds a way to make that catch. Like, he just strong hands it. And he's able to come down with it. And this season, as a team, and those two as a connection, it's just not there, man.
It's just off.
Yeah. It's just off. So as far as the circle of swarm and the validated takes that we can take away from this, Daniil Hunter has been the swarmiest player. Can you make a case that he's been their best player this year? I think you can.
I think so, probably in terms of consistency. And I think Will...
And productivity now. He's got 10 and a half sacks.
Will went kind of through like the mini arc that he went through last year, yep. a miniature version of it, where last year it really took him about two-thirds of the way through the season to really start rushing more like a polished NFL pass rusher. This year, at the beginning of the year, he was doing a lot of the same things he did at the beginning of last year, where he would turn everything into a bull rush, and he was getting close to the quarterback, but it wasn't a real pressure. It gets counted by NFL Next Gen as a real pressure, but it's not a genuine pressure. But then he started being a guy that was attacking edges. We saw it last week. Last week, it was really cool to hear Ross Tucker say a couple times, hey, he went against J.C. Latham, the Titans' left tackle, in practice all the time at Alabama, so this shouldn't be a surprise to J.C. Latham. The difference was that it was a better version of Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Will was using his power, but he was attacking edges. He was attacking the inside shoulder. He's attacking the outside shoulder. And I think that was a version of Will Anderson that J.C. Latham hadn't seen. So that part of it, and then now Will and Daniil are both, I believe, in the top six for sacks right now.
Yes.
If you're going to have two pass rushers and double-digit sacks, which they're both on pace to do, that's a menace. It's probably one thing that's been lost this week is the recognition of just how good the Texans' pass rush is right now.
That's why it's so infuriating that the offense is so far below average right now. Because honestly, if the offense were just average, if they were just protecting C.J. Stroud average, and he's only getting sacked one or two times a game, and the team is running for 4 yards a carry, can we get 4 yards a carry? Is that too much to ask? If you are just average offensively, you're getting 23, 24 points a game, something like that. This pass rush is enough to go steal you a road playoff win against a good team. You know what I mean? Like this, if you can just be average offensively, they force enough bad plays, either through pressure that turns into interceptions, or sacks that stall drives, or actual fumbles forced. We've seen it all from these guys this year. And I think the offense is so bad right now that I think Daniil Hunter, I mean, look, they just sacked the quarterback 8 times on Sunday and lost at home to a bad team.
The other part of it, too, is that so right now, just for anybody who's curious, Daniil Hunter is second in the NFL in sacks with 10.5.
Yeah.
Hendrickson is the leader with 11.5 sacks. Will Anderson is fifth in the NFL with 9.5 sacks. Okay. So they've got two of the top 5 sack artists in the league right now.
Yeah.
The other part of it, though, is that, they're getting a good pass rush, and yet they're still allowing too many passing touchdowns, and too many of them are deep shots. That first deep shot where Eric Murray – or no, the play where – not the first one, but when Eric Murray bit on the play action.
Yeah.
Wait, am I – no, Henry Toa
Henry
bit on the play action.
Bit on the
first deep shot was the one where Eric Murray bit on the underneath move. He bit on a double move.
Yep.
That wasn't with a blitz, you know. That was bad safety play. That was – anticipating the ball coming out with a 4-man rush. It wasn't like that was bad safety play.
Yep.
And we've seen that too often. Bad and inconsistent play in the secondary isn't really allowing you to capitalize on how good the pass rush is.
Yeah. Azeez, number 2 on the Circle of Swarm list. That was a positive signing. I think that's indicative. I think the number of times, maybe to the downside, like Mixon's only on here 5 times, Nico's only on here 4 times, Diggs is only on here 3 times, I think is indicative of the lack of availability of those 3 guys. You know, it's a reminder, Seth, that they really only had those 3 guys on the field for a full game together. I think once all year long.
Yeah.
It was the Colts game in Week 1, and that was the one game that was probably their best offensive game of the season. I would say was Week 1.
Have we had a single offensive lineman in the Circle of Swarm yet?
No. I feel like you and I almost have a mandate not to put one in. Do you think we'll get one in there?
How many times has Dalton Schultz been in the Circle,
Circle of Swarm? Zero.
He's not swarmy, you say.
No.
Is it a combination of his complete and total inability to block coupled with the fact that he can't get separation on his routes anymore?
That sounds about right.
The less than a year after getting a brand new contract from the Texans?
Sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds You know who I would
love? CJ's been a disappointment.
Yeah.
Is Dalton Schultz the biggest disappointment in terms of there's underperformance by Dell. Diggs wasn't as great as you hoped he could have been, but Schultz has been infuriatingly bad at times.
Individually, he's been bad, or he's been invisible in the passing game, things like that. But I would say, to me still, and I know it was an area of concern coming into that the interior offensive line has been this bad. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't expecting big things out of them, but that they've been so bad that they've damaged C.J. Stroud to this extent is is to me that's the big. Dalton Schultz is one guy who plays tight end, and it's not a good contract right now. Good teams can deal with that. Good teams, you do what the interior of the offensive line is doing, you're not a good team anymore. You know,
The biggest thing with Schultz that bothers me is just the complete and total lack of violence to anything that he does or appetite for violence.
Yep.
It just, it's frustrating, you know, and the veteran players on the team that you hope could be a good example for everybody else, you feel like you're not getting it from some of those guys on offense.
Yep.
The offensive line, the tackles have been just fine, but not up to how much you're paying them to be. And certainly in the run game, there's nothing that you can hang your hat on with the, with those guys. And it turns everything into a miserable feeling of just absolute mush on the offensive line.
The last set of regular season college football playoff rankings came out last night, so we get to see kind of what the matchups would be. Is the 12-team playoff doing it for you? Is the 12-team playoff a big reason why the most expensive regular season ticket in college football exists in this state right now? We'll tell you about that coming up next.